All right, good evening, everybody. Good evening, thanks for coming. Looking forward to a fairly relaxed time, at least I'm assuming fairly relaxed time, of just hearing from John and Kara and some of the things that on their hearts, that they've had conversations with the people at Life Action of what God is leading them towards, what some of their responsibilities and activities will be there, what it looks like as far as like support raising and timeline and thing like that. We want to give them a chance to share a little bit more of their heart with that, and then also have time for your questions and answers. I know there has been some sort of questions and wonderings, and as with anything, especially if you have some kind of change in the leadership of a church, that's sort of a question mark that's existing, there can be a lot of speculation and curiosity, and this is the time for that. By the way, if you're listening to this later, because we're recording this, whenever you have those questions, this is the time for that. Ask the questions, talk to John and Kara, talk to one of us, and we would love to help you understand what's going on in this journey. But because, and this is one of the things I think we believe really deeply, because the primary goal at Eden Worship Center is not to build the biggest, most influential church in our community, our goal is, as members one of another, to build the church of Jesus Christ, put forth the gospel of Christ, that more people might know him, more people might walk in obedience to him. And so we've said for a long time, we're just going to keep giving away our best over and over and over again. Raise them up and give them away, raise them up and give them away. And so we do that with a little bit of a mixed heart. there's some bittersweetness to it, and yet joy in what God is doing. So let's just pray, and then John and Kara, if you guys want to come on up, or begin slowly hobbling, as the case may be, we'll just look forward to hearing from them. As they're hobbling, let's pray. It's just John hobbling. Let's be clear. Kara, you're walking just fine. Well, Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your heart and your plans for John and Kara, for their family. God, we thank you for the path that you have led them down that has brought them to this place in their life. We thank you, God, for the path that you have laid out ahead of them that we don't even know about. And your word says, God, that the secret things belong to the Lord, but that which has been revealed belongs to us. And so that which you have shown us, we want to be diligent and faithful with, and that which we cannot see, we entrust into your sovereign, mighty hand. So I pray you'd use this night to help cast the vision of what John and Kara are looking for and looking at. And I pray you would use this night to bind our hearts with them in mission and purpose for the sake of your name and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good evening. Sorry to say good morning. Thank you so much. It means a lot to us that you all would be here tonight to hear from us our hearts, and look forward to any questions you guys may have about what the future holds, to whatever degree we can answer them, of course, because it is the future. And you heard a little bit this morning about the heart and mission of Life Action as a whole, that it is a heart to see God's people living like God's people as they pursue holiness, as they pursue their communities, as they pursue their co-workers, classmates, for the sake of the gospel. And I do want to talk a little bit more about the history of Life Action and some of the various ministries and stuff that come with Life Action, or that are part of Life Action. As mentioned this morning, Life Action has been around for 50 years. They celebrated their 50th anniversary last summer, and it really made me feel old. We went and celebrated that with them last summer up in Niles, Michigan, which is where the headquarters is. The camp we're going to be at is in Buchanan, Michigan. We went up and celebrated that, and as I was sitting there, we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of Life Action. I remembered that as a team member, I helped set everything up for the 30th anniversary. And I'm like, wow, How many guys sometimes feel like, how can there be anything in my life that I can remember was 20 years ago besides messing in my diaper and drinking from a bottle? Baby bottle, that is. Baby bottle. It was weird to think that, I was here 20 years ago when they celebrated their 30th. So they're 50 years old. And again, they started, as I mentioned this morning, from a prayer meeting with Del Faisenfeld. And he actually passed away in 1989 from a brain tumor. And the ministry obviously has been going on, which to me is the mark of a true leader and the mark of God's blessing. If a ministry dies when the founder dies, you know that it was all about the founder. But when a ministry continues on, even after the founder passes on, you know that it wasn't just about the founder. It's about the mission and the message and the calling of the people who are part of that ministry. And Life Action is now an umbrella. I just realized I don't have anybody back there doing slides. Liam, can you go do slides?
I got it.
Oh, okay.
You're not.
No, Liam, come on back, because I'll have you up here in a little bit. He's trying to get out of having to talk. I know what that was. Life Action since then has grown immensely to where they are also an umbrella that encompasses several other different types of ministries. How many of you guys grew up watching public television? How many of you guys remember at the end of a show, they'd say, this episode of whatever is brought to you by the Arthur S. DeMoss Foundation? Anybody remember hearing that? If you can go ahead and go to the next slide there. One of the ministries you can see there under Life Action is Revive Our Hearts. And the lady here is Nancy Lee DeMoss. That is the daughter of Arthur S. DeMoss. And so when we got to Life Action, I'm like, wait, that's Arthur S. DeMoss's daughter? That's all I knew her for was Arthur S. DeMoss's daughter from watching PBS. But she's also, how many of you guys are familiar with Elizabeth Elliot? When Elizabeth Elliot passed away, Nancy Lee DeMoss is the lady that Elizabeth Elliot chose to succeed her in her ministry, her radio and podcast ministry. And so Revive Our Hearts, it started as Nancy Lee's ministry, but has grown much bigger than that. It is a ministry with the same heart as Life Action to see revival among God's people, but it is geared towards women. It is a women's ministry. And it's an international ministry. I think they do things in 12 different languages with all their publications and books, with the conferences that they do. But that is one of the ministries that is part of Life Action. It's more than just the camp that we do. So there's Revive Our Hearts. There's also the ministry called One Cry. And what that is, while Life Action wants to equip God's people to set those sails when the Holy Spirit moves, One Cry really focuses in on teaching God's people how to pray, encouraging them and equipping them on how to pray for their communities. One thing they did back when the George Floyd happened and all of the riots and stuff were taking place in Minneapolis, every day they would go into the midst of that and grab people off the street and say, would you come with us? We want to pray. And they had contacted different leaders within the city where each day there would be different leaders who would be conducting prayer meetings during that time. And so they would bring people in for times of prayer while all of that stuff was going on, encouraging and equipping people to pray for renewal, for revival. So One Cry, again, it's another ministry of Life Action that really focuses on raising people up as prayer warriors for the purpose of revival. And then there's Life Action Proper. And Life Action Proper encompasses three different ministries. One is the Lodge, the other is the Church Events Team, and then there's Life Action Camp. Now, the Church Events Team, you can go ahead and go to the next slide there. That is, again, where Kara and I met when we were part of the Church Events Team. And actually, the guy pictured there, he's no longer part of the Church Event Teams. He is now the camp director. He'll be my boss when we get there. So that's Brent Paulus. But the Church Events Team, they focus on equipping churches and encouraging churches toward revival. And they, what they do, they come in with their team, and there are three different types of events. There's a three-day event, a four-day event, and an 11-day event. And basically, they just, they do everything. What it looks like on a Sunday morning is the main speaker, they call him, his title is Revivalist. He does a church service. They have a praise team that does all the music. They have a youth director. When I was on Silver Team, that was my job. I was the youth director. I did all the youth meetings during that time that we were there at that church. And then they also have children's clubs. In my first couple of years, I was a children's minister. And I think, was it just her first year? Yeah, her first year was, they call them CMs, children's minister. But so that's a Sunday morning, do the church service. They do everything. Then each night during the time that they are there, they come in, the youth go to their youth meetings, children go to their children's clubs, and then all the adults gather together in the auditorium to listen to what we always called the Family Guy. Now, because a particular TV show on TV, we don't call them the Family Guy anymore. Now it's the Family Revivalist. But his focus for about 30 minutes, while the youth are in with the youth director and the kids are in their kids' clubs, he speaks to parent-child issues, husband-wife relationship things, you know, communication, how to deepen your marriage, those kinds of things. And the end of that, that's called the pre-session. At the end of that, they bring all the kids and the teens into the service, and there's a time of praise, there's a time of singing. And once that is over, the children go back to their kids' clubs while all of the youth stay in with their parents. And then the main speaker gets up and he speaks toward things about the Christian life. You know, bitterness and forgiveness. How are you pursuing God in your life? You know, things that are common to all Christians when it comes to what does it look like to walk as a children of light. And so that's what it looks like when Life Action, one of the church event teams, come into a church. And with the team members, we all would stay in different host homes. We'd usually match up a couple of team members who would go to a host home. And that was some of our favorite times. Whether it was getting to go alligator catching in the middle of the night in Florida swamps, or being hand-fed by your host mom. I'll let you share that one.
Oh, my. Okay. So, there we go. I stayed with a Ethiopian, that's right, Ethiopian couple. And they're like, we're going to do an authentic meal for you one night. We're like, okay, sounds good. We got home, and the smell of spices was overpowering. We're like, okay. And John's theory was always, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow, across the team. And so we knew we had to enjoy this meal. And a Ethiopian tradition is the maker of the meal feeds you. And so she would scoop it off of your plate and feed you. So I learned something that night.
And there are all kinds of awesome stories about host families. But aside from just those fun things, it was also incredible that as you're part of these church event teams, to see what God does in the churches. Church after church after church. The last couple of nights of a church event is testimony time. It's given over for the church people to come up and basically tell them, we want to keep this short and concise. So as you come up here to share, this is where God found me at the beginning of this, and this is where he has brought me since then. And without fail, every single time, there would be stories of marriages that were restored. There would be stories of men who were caught up in pornography, who were set free, just all kinds of things. And what was so awesome is that, especially when a man would get up and share how he had been caught up in pornography and the Lord set him free from that, he'd almost inevitably, he would say, I just felt alone. And after he would share, countless other men would come up saying, that's me too. And it was just so awesome to see the way God would work in all of that, truly bringing revival as people were saying yes to God, even to come up and say in front of the whole church, this, I was caught up in pornography. Our marriage was such that if we accidentally bumped each other, we apologized. That's literal. There was a family that was like that, a husband and wife, where if they brushed up against each other, oh, sorry. They actually ended up joining Life Action later after God restored their marriage. But so that's part of the church event team. And then there's also the lodge ministry. And what the lodge ministry is Life Action knows that, yes, within a church, revival is crucial. But if the church leaders are worn out, burnt out, beat down, they're going to be hard-pressed to lead a church in revival, to equip the people. And so the lodge is a ministry for pastors and spiritual leaders. There was a mansion right on the St. Joe River that was donated with, I don't know how many acres of property, donated to Life Action. And so they converted this lodge over to a ministry that is just for pastors and their spouses. So they'll do things where they'll host two or three pastors and their wives at a time, and they can spend that time at the lodge just being served and being able, and not a whole lot of structure. No, okay, you have to be here for this session at this time. You have to do this at this time. It's, we're going to serve you, and you take and use this time to spend time in the Word and be refreshed for yourself, not preparing things for other people. This is for you and your spouse. And I think that is such an incredible, incredible ministry because you know pastors, you know spiritual leaders, things that go on wear them down. And so this is an incredibly important ministry that Life Action does for pastors and spiritual leaders. And then finally, Life Action Camp. And this is the area where Karen and I will be serving. And before I say much, there is a video. Woohoo, videos. So we'll go ahead and show that video.
You just have to be there to know what it's really like. At Life Action Camp, we aim to help our guests pause from the busyness of life, reconnect with God and each other, and then be equipped to head back home refreshed and ready to engage in the mission God has for them. It's vacation with a purpose. A getaway from the stresses of life, sure, but even more, it's real time to laugh, unwind, and be the family God intended you to be. Our vision as a camp is to inspire your next yes to God and to bring you closer together as a family. Through worship and solid biblical teaching, you'll be challenged and equipped to live a life of true surrender. The kids go home with a new spiritual fire as well. So if your family life could use a refresh, or if you're looking for 1 week out of the next 52 that would be worth remembering forever, the next summer, join us at Life Action Camp. To learn more, visit lifeactioncamp.com.
So that's a quick snapshot of one aspect of Life Action Camp. That's family camp. And the way family camp is set up, it's semi-structured. In the morning, there's session. And the way the sessions go, everybody, the families all come in, and there's what's called the theme message. Each summer, there's a particular theme. And so they'll have the theme message that morning with all the family together, and then they'll end that theme message with, okay, now get together as a family and talk about this thing that has to do with theme message. And then they'll dismiss the kids and the youth, and then the main speaker comes in for the adults, and he speaks again toward family issues, husband-wife issues, those kinds of things. And then you go to lunch, and then the afternoon is open. They have scheduled activities where you can sign up to do, or you can just do nothing and sit on the beach all day if you want to. And then dinner again in the evening, and then an evening session, again, where the children are in their kids' clubs, the youth are with the youth director, and the adults, again, are listening to biblical-based husband-wife relationships, family issue messages, and that kind of stuff. And on Wednesday night, instead of a session, they take all the kids and they take them off for an activity. They have a really nice meal at the lodge, and then they say, here are a bunch of date ideas in the surrounding towns. Go out, have fun. And it's just a date night for the parents. But, you know, at the beginning of the video when he says, I guess you have to be there to understand, or you have to experience to understand. I traveled for 5 years, and Kara traveled for 3. And I'm like, oh yeah, family camps. And she's like, let's go to family camps. I'm like, eh. Well, our first time actually was this beginning of June. That was the first time we'd ever been to family camp. Part of it was I should probably go to family camp before I start helping run them. Maybe be a good idea. But Brent, the director, he said, but the main reason I wanted you to come, because he let us go for free, said the main reason I wanted you to come is because pastors and their families need this, which I love Brent's heart towards pastor. He's the brand new camp director, and he has a huge heart towards church leadership. He wants to make it more possible for pastors and their families to come and experience that. But when we were there, I realized why there are families who have been coming year after year. There are some families where this is their family vacation, and it has been for 10 years. One guy was sharing that 1 year he told his kids, okay guys, we've got two options this year. We can go to family camp, or we can go to Disney World. And every single kid chose family camp because it's that incredible. It's that kind of an environment. And the relationships that we made just during that 1 week time, I would have never thought that you could develop that depth of a relationship with a bunch of strangers in just a 1 week time. We have kept in touch with many of them. Few of them are now supporters of us. I mean, it was just incredible the relationships and the depth that you develop during that time. So it really was an incredible time for our family. So I actually want to give the kids an opportunity to come on up here and share a little bit about their experience with family camp, since that's where we're going to be serving. Okay, who's going to go first? Killian, you, Liam's going first?
I guess so. My favorite thing from the whole week was probably archery tag and learning, going through James 1, 2, and 3.
One of my favorite things was meeting people and tubing. And one of the things I learned is just because it's hard doesn't mean it's bad.
My favorite thing about family camp was swimming. Mr. Isaac and ice cream.
Real quick, Mr. Isaac, if you have children 7 years and under, during the summer, the team members on the church event teams, they travel during the spring and fall and winter. So during the summer, all the team members from church event teams help with family camps. So if you've got children 7 years and under, you'll get a team member as your family assistant. And the family assistant is there to, he'll help you, like, we got 6 kids, so he helped us, Mr. Isaac, helped us go through the meal lines and helped us get kids' meals and helped us get seated. In fact, in the video, you might have seen him in a kayak waving at the camera. That was with Mr. Isaac, so they'll do activities with the kids. If the parents need time to talk, you know, it's after session and there's some issues the parents need to talk through, the family assistants say, talk, I'll take your kids. Take whatever time you need. And it's just so awesome to have somebody like that, where if we need the time, we've got the time. And there were quite a few days we'd say, you know what, Isaac, we appreciate all you're doing. Why don't you take some time off? You can have the afternoon to yourself. No, I want to help with your kids. I want to be with your family. And it was pretty awesome having Mr. Isaac. And everybody at camp was like, oh, you got Isaac. Wow. So he was pretty awesome.
One of my favorite things from family camp was Smuggler. And we learned to be doers of the word and not just hearers.
Smuggler was a game they played. It wasn't anything bad. What were you guys smuggling? It's kind of like reverse capture the flag. Instead of going to try to get your flag, there's like a box that the other team has, and you're trying to get as many of your people, five boxes. You're trying to get your people to put things in the other team's boxes. And at the end of the game, whichever team has the most things in their boxes, they lose. And it's at 12 o'clock at night in the woods. And trees don't glow in the dark.
One of my favorite things about family camp was laser tag and tubing.
One of my favorite things was Smuggler Jr.
The kids in the younger classes all learned a memory verse that the kids wanted to share with you. Share some about her experience at family camp.
Well, I loved not having to cook. That's just a huge highlight. Like, the food is amazing, and
it's three buffet meals every single day, plus snacks in the afternoon and evenings.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. But also, on Tuesday morning, they have women's devotions in the morning. And they depend on the guys to get up and get everybody ready. And then on Wednesday and Friday, they have guided devotions. But just that one-on-one time with all the women to be able to share. Usually the speaker's wife will share or lead that morning for the ladies. And then if there's not a wife for the speaker, one of the staff wives will take that. And eventually that might be me. And those of you that know me, I don't love to talk in front of people, so that'll be a grace moment for sure. But just having relationships with people in the same season of life that you connect with almost immediately. Like, you're in a meeting and you're like, hey, how many kids do you have? And, you know, you go out and the meeting starts and you go down to dinner or whatever and you chat and you build relationships and friendships and you share at a different level because camp is camp. You're vulnerable. You're seeking the Lord. You're ready to hear what God has to say. And so you share the hard things. You share the good things. You share the season of that you're in. And that was one of my favorite parts. Like, a super sweet friend already. It just in, what, the 4 weeks we've been home, she's walking a really hard journey, and she texts me all the time, pray. Pray now. I'm going to the doctor. Pray now. And just that sweet relationship of watching families connect all over the place from different corners of the United States, from Texas to California to all over, and seeing them go, I need Jesus and I need fellowship and hold me accountable in this. And so that was huge for me. One of my favorite parts.
All right, I'm going to expedite the rest of this because we've talked about the time that I had to set aside for us to talk. to get to you, but real quick, what will I be doing for Life Action? My official title will be Program Enhancement Manager. Sounds pretty important, huh? I Kara laughs at me because when people say, what are you going to be doing? I'm like, well, my official title is Program Enhancement Manager. And they're like, oh, what's that? So basically, as the Program Enhancement Manager, one, I'm going to be working with Brent and part of the leadership team to evaluate the things that we are doing as a camp. How is it enhancing camp? Can we do it differently? Can we do without it? What can we add? I'll be helping them brainstorm those kinds of things. I will be leading the activities team to design, create, build the recreational things that the camp does. There's an escape room, so I'll be helping to design and create these escape rooms and that kind of stuff. So basically leading the activities team for all the different activities that go on during the week. I'll be working with the mission and message team to kind of shape the summer theme content that is, hey, this is what we're about this summer. And also be writing additional spiritual components to go along that theme message, like family devotionals, that kind of stuff. So I'll be helping to write those things. I'll be working with the program team to make sure that one thing they don't want is where we have a bunch of fun activities, oh, and we have Jesus. We want Jesus to permeate everything that they do. That's what they want. And so that's one of the things they're bringing me in to do, is to oversee and make sure that Jesus permeates everything, that it doesn't become a, oh, and also we have Jesus kind of thing. I'll be working with the what they call the next gen leader, and basically that's the guy who takes care of youth and children's ministry. I'll be kind of working with him to develop the content that's going to be taught to the youth and the content that's going to be taught to the children, to develop those things. And then also as part of that camp staff, I'll be working to supervise programs and special events, because it's not just family camp. Because a lot of people wonder, is this just 12 weeks and then what do you do the rest of the year? Well, during the spring and the fall, kind of bookends of family camp, there are men and women retreats, there's husband-wife retreats, there's mother-daughter retreats, there's father-son retreats. So we have all those in the spring and we have all those in the fall. Family camps all summer, and then winter is the planning time, where once we get to November, that's when we start planning for the next spring. So we, from November to March is a planning time. And then April, you get into the mode where you start preparing everything for all the retreats and stuff. And then lastly, to connect with the guests for encouragement, counsel, and prayer. One of my jobs will be to build relationships with all the different families that come, so I can be there to pray with them, to encourage them, to counsel husbands and wives, to counsel parents as they need something beyond just what we offer in the big group meetings. And Kara will also be doing some things.
The first year we're there, one of the requirements is that I do nothing. I set up our home, I decide if we're gonna homeschool, whether we're going to do whatever at home. And so they value home life. It's not just camp life, it's home life and how things run at home. And so they give us the first year just to do home. And there will be opportunities to serve in there if I really feel like that's what God's leading us to do, or me to do. And then after that first year, I can basically do whatever John thinks that's best. So whether it's helping with the ladies' retreats, Alana and I are really looking forward to helping with the ladies' retreats, the mother-daughter retreats, connecting and building relationships and being able to pray for and just mentor, even like the team girls. We're really excited about the team ministry, to be able to have the team members over to our house as much as possible, to be the family that they don't have because their families are states away during the summer. But my main job is to be at home. And so I'm really looking forward to that, but being able to help whenever as well.
One thing during the family camp time of us being at camp is they encourage all of the families to come and be all of the staff families to be a part of family camp as much as possible to build those relationships. And so our kids, being deeply spiritual, they're excited about getting to swim all throughout the summer and to have a breakfast buffet, a lunch buffet, and a dinner buffet every weekday throughout the summer. That's what they're excited about. Now, moving on.
Can I share?
Oh, yes.
In the evenings after the sessions, there's always a snack, and the kids go and hang out, and the parents connect at what's called the Snack Shack. And outside the pavilion, there's little fire pits all over, and the adults just sit around, and they talk, and they share, and it's a safe place, so the kids just run and play. There's a gaga pit behind, and the beach is right there in the playground, and carpet ball. Yeah, it's such a family-centered atmosphere that you can rest and let the kids play and connect. That's super sweet times. Looking forward to those times with, yeah, ministering there.
And one of the biggest questions people have had is this a paid position? It is considered a missions position, which means we do raise support. And why is it support-based? One of the reasons is that Life Action's mission is paramount above finances. They want to equip and encourage God's people, and they don't want finances to be a hindrance in that. So for the sake of the kingdom, as it says there, we don't want finances to be a hindrance to an individual or a family being ministered to. So by having each staff member, I mentioned this morning that Life Action now has 350 staff members. None of them are paid. They all raise their own support because with, like just with camp staff, there will be, I think, about 17 of us on staff. So if they had to pay each of those people a salary, well, I'm sure the 1% would have a lot of fun coming to family camp then, whereas the 99% would never be able to afford it if they had to, because it's the camp is 100 and over 150 wooded acres with trails through it all. They have about 35 different buildings, cabins and that kind of stuff for families to be in, the lodge where the cafeteria is, the tab where all of the big meetings take place, plus all the suites where all the children's ministry takes place, the boats and different vehicles. The insurance would probably is out of this world expensive because of you've got a bunch of families with little kids running around this place. So if they were having to pay each staff member a salary, again, the one percenters would love family camp, but nobody else would be able to do it. So that's just one reason that it is a support-based thing, is so that they can divert as much resources as possible toward camp so they can make it as accessible as possible for as many people as possible. So it is support-based. And what is our monthly goal? We met just this past week with some of the finance guys at Life Action, and our monthly goal as it stands right now is $6,000 a month, which for me, that seems like a huge number. Most people are like, oh, that's pretty typical, that's pretty normal. Why is it $6,000 a month? Well, we'll have all of the regular expenses that a family has, health insurance, mortgage, car insurance. We'll have all of those regular expenses. In addition to, during the winter, in addition to planning for the coming year, that's also the time that all the camp staff goes on their, what they call MPD trips. That's Ministry Partner Development trips. In other words, it's support raising trips. So factored into that $6,000 is the money that it's going to take to do all of that traveling throughout the winter months as we go to different places to raise support. Another reason that it is $6,000 a month is one of the guys said, keep in mind, you will never get a raise, but you will lose supporters. That as time goes by, for one reason or another, like, I don't know, a recession, some people might have to drop out from being able to support you. So say that it takes us about $4,500 to $5,000 a month to live. So that's what we raise. Once, if something happens and we start losing supporters because of something like a recession, all of a sudden, we are not making enough to live. And so we've got to factor in a buffer as well
so that as we do lose supporters, that we are still able to focus on ministering instead of going, okay, how are we going to make the next mortgage payment? So that's why it's $6,000 monthly. And you can see there, we've got it, I've got it figured out where if we had 70 different supporters at these particular levels, that would come out to that $6,000 a month. We have one family who's supporting us $40 a month. So if you see those numbers, you go, well, I'd love to support you, but I wanted to support you at $27.33, and you don't have that option up there. It's okay, you can support us for $27.33 a month. It doesn't have to be one of these. This was just a clean, easy way to do it. And you can see we've got up there, we've got about 8 supporters right now, which brings us to about 12% of our monthly support level. And when do we go? What kind of timeline? Life Action Leadership, or the camp leadership, said the other day when we were up there, they said, man, if you guys could be here in November, we would love it. That wasn't them saying, you need to be here, we expect you to be here. That's just them saying, we would love it if you could be here in November. We'd have to be at 100% in order to be there in November. So I guess that would be our goal. It's a God-sized goal, but that's they're excited about us coming, because all of this position is not a position that somebody left and now they're looking for somebody to fill it. This was a position that was created for me. And so they are very excited to have us there so that we can start plugging in these holes that they've seen are existent within the camp ministry there. So that's our timeline. Now, having said all that, any questions? I have all the answers. One of them is I don't know, so.
This is only for a month, you come back, right?
It is only for a month, including all the other months after it. Uh-oh, it's a Chuck question.
Will you be getting plugged into a local church outside of the camp?
That is a good question. He asked if we would be getting plugged into a local church outside of the camp. The answer is yes. Life Action considers it very important for their team, camp staff, to be plugged into a local church. Life Action is not affiliated with any church or denomination or any other organization. They are their own entity. And so they encourage their staff members and their families to be plugged into a local church. We've got a couple that we've already said, let's check those out. One of them is actually pastored by a former team member. But it's probably the first one we're going to check out. So yes, we will be plugging into a local church. And we've got lots to choose from, because even though all of the Life Action staff have very similar beliefs, there are differences. So some are saying, oh, you could come try our church. Oh, come try our church. Oh, come try ours. So we've got plenty to check out. But good question. Yes, we will be plugging into a local church. Any other?
Can we ask questions related to this church body?
Yes. His question was, can you ask questions related to this church body?
So what happens if the John replacement crew doesn't line up with your support raising timeline? Let's say that, oh, you have all your support raised by 10 days from now, and we don't have all the little John bots in place.
That is a good question. What if those that are stepping in to fill the various responsibilities that I'm taking care of, what if all those people aren't in place before we leave? We are actively working on that. I've talked with several people already, and some have contacted me about some of the different things that need to be filled, and we're working hard on that. We'll just trust that God's provision of our support will coincide with God's provision of people and their gifts. And once we are at 100%, thank you, I forgot about that. Once we are at 100%, we are still going to, we already told Life Action, once we hit 100%, we will come after a month. So we'll still be here for another month after we hit 100%. So it won't be like on Friday we hit 100%, and sorry, you won't see us Sunday. We're at 100%. So yeah, peace out. Yeah. So we've already told them, once we hit 100%, we're here for a month. So,
John, I got a question. That's right. So what does that transition look like for you here in the in-between time? I'll go ahead and field this one. So, actually, let me give this sketch, and then you can kind of fill in what else you're doing. So part of what we would like to see happen, and you end up using the phrase, in whatever time God has given us, which I think is true for any aspect of life, is that we do a immediate transition from overseeing the children's ministry, our Sunday school program, all of that, and put that into the hands of somebody who can just take over the administration of it, and basically put all those administration pieces in place so that that doesn't have to be part of the ongoing thing, and hopefully be building that up so that as John and Kara step out, then we don't have an administration gap in the midst of that. So we're gonna try to fill that as soon as possible. And then taking the pastoral responsibilities that John has, as well as a few others that I think maybe we can work to create, and using especially School of Ministry guys who are going through and are, one of the requirements for School of Ministry is ministry involvement and service, and giving them through a series of created internships where they can come in, and this is where we haven't really sorted out exactly what this looks like, and but give them an opportunity either in a general sense for a limited amount of time or in a specific sense for a more extended time to take on some of those ministry pastoral responsibilities, with the idea of, rather than having one person who comes in as John 2.0, that, or Jason 3.0 as the case may be, I don't know how we're scoring that these days, to take a whole bunch of young guys who are interested in serving in ministry and what God would do with them, and let this be a growing time for them, a greenhouse for them to actually step into serving in these areas without having to shoulder the whole thing. So that's part of the vision with that. John, anything you want to fill in on that?
I'd say this is kind of a brand new kind of thing for me to step into, is helping raise up people to take different spots. So it is going to be kind of a shift as I step back from actually doing things to raising up and helping raise up people to take those things. So I beg for your patience and grace as we do enter into this, with just trying to come up with, okay, what exactly am I doing? And not just what needs to be filled, but even who. Because some things you don't just go, oh, you can breathe? Hey, you want to do this? So even just looking at different people and how God is gifting people is a new experience for us as we're embarking on this.
Yeah, and that was part of what I wanted to get to in thinking of this, that a lot of times when we think about God's movement of especially ministry leaders, especially key ministry leaders that we love and care about and recognize the value of what they bring to a congregation, is we start thinking in terms of subtraction. And yet what so often God does is in that void, God multiplies the ministry that's there, multiplies the people who are involved. And prayerfully, that's what we want to see happen here. So one more question. You said, and I'm actually going to let you answer this one, I promise. You said something about like, okay, hey, if you could get here by this time, we've talked a little bit, what's the deadline? So let's say things are going on and on. Like, what is the end date?
We were talking with somebody there at headquarters, and it took them 3 years to raise their support. And then they mentioned another family where he was actually one of the leaders at camp, and it took them 5 years to raise their support. Please, no. No, please, no. Even just in the month we've been doing it, I'm like, oh my goodness. I have never done anything so out of my comfort zone than asking for support. It is, when people go, oh, you just want a comfort zone where you're just doing stuff, asking people for money. That's not a comfort zone. So please, no, not 3 years, not 5 years. But all that to say, there is no particular deadline. They're not saying, if you're not here by now, we rescind the offer. They want us there as soon as we can get there. And we've got a support raising coach there. It's actually Brent Paulus, who's going to be my direct supervisor. He's like, hey, I want to be your coach. So we're working with him on getting support raising and different strategies and logistics and what does that all look like. So yeah, there's no particular deadline, but it would just really be awkward if we transition everybody into my responsibilities and then I'm still here. So, well.
It wouldn't be that awkward. But what we do want to do is we want to walk with them, encourage them along this path, and at the same time, not leave a big gaping hole as far as ministry and things we're doing here. So the life action thing, there really is no back. There's not like if it's like a coupon that you get and cut out and carry around, and by the time you get it to the store, it's expired, and you're like, are you kidding me? These things are good for like 15 minutes. So life action doesn't have that. On our end, one of the things that we are looking at is the beginning of next camp season. It's kind of a bittersweet thing to say. We want to see John and Kara there. So come the beginning of next May or June, and I don't know when that kicks off. Yeah, so kind of also setting some of those things helps be a little bit of a push and a prompt to do that which is uncomfortable, so that we can be working to fill that, you know, whatever that looks like as far as filling the administrative role and things like that. So on our end, we're kind of looking at the beginning of next camp season. For them, it really is an extended thing that they're looking at. All right, I'm done. I'm leaving.
All right, good questions.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, Pastor Harold.
Do you have a list of specific things that you are doing in the church now? Not just general things, but what are the day-to-day, week-to-week tasks that you're doing that you have to transition out of?
That is a good question. Yes, I do have a list. And off the top of my head, two of the big things, Sunday school director and Sunday school administrator. The difference between those two things, Sunday school director is basically the Sunday school leader. We often put leader and administrator one and the same. A leader is a vision caster. An administrator is the one who takes the vision and makes it work. Does a lot of the organizing and that kind of stuff. So like the Sunday school director, and there's been somebody who's contacted me about that. The Sunday school director would be in charge of like recruiting teachers, recruiting helpers, working with those teachers as far as developing them. They would be responsible for if there are any issues between teachers or between teachers and parents, they would step in to help mediate those. Sunday school administrator or the Sunday school director would also work up schedules and that kind of stuff, whereas the Sunday school administrator would be more of the person who, okay, let's make sure all of these schedules are posted, let's make sure everybody has the curriculum that they're supposed to have, whereas the Sunday school director, under the guidance of the elders, would decide what curriculum is going to be used. The administrator is the one who would make sure all of that curriculum was ordered, that it gets into the hands of the teachers. So there's the list lays that out in more detail. So there's Sunday school director, Sunday school administrator.
So the answer is yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
Who's going to have that list?
Right now, I've got it, and I'll be giving a copy to Pastor Matt. to let him look at it, and to the elders to help kind of flesh that list out, just to make sure, oh, aren't you forgetting this? Well, what about that? So that is something we're working on, and we do have a list, and we'll be getting that out.
So shouting from the back here, one of the things that's already happened in transitioning is John has been the one who's been kind of revamping the adult Sunday school material for our use here. And in the last month, we've transitioned to having Dad be the one who takes that material and sort of retrofits it for our adult Sunday school. So at least for the minute, Pastor Harold is doing that. And what we're hoping is kind of like that question, to look at all the aspects of ministry, but then also what can we be doing where we can create like new things that currently aren't happening and be filling them and equipping them. So that's the detail that we're hoping to fill out here really fast.
One great thing about it is having one person do a bunch of those things means they are operating in areas where their spiritual gifting is. I'm operating in areas where my spiritual gift is, but I'm also operating in areas where my spiritual gift isn't. So by me, by the church not having one person to step in, but having a bunch of different people, it means all of these places can be filled by people who are utilizing their spiritual gift in those places, which actually means I'm getting out of the way so that the church can use the spiritual gifts God has given them for the good of the body. So, good question, Pastor Harold. Thank you. All right, that is a good question, and I meant to have a slide and I didn't, because I didn't want to ask for support. I'm kidding. I do, please, I'm asking. if you want to support us, on the table out there, there are prayer cards, and on the back of that prayer card, there's information on how to support us. There's also cards that you can fill out and send in. With the prayer cards, jmorman@lifeaction.org. There's also a QR code on the back of the prayer cards. You can scan that website, and the QR code will take you to a page on the Life Action website where you can give the information to support us with a one-time gift, with a monthly gift, with a yearly, annual gift. And then again, there's also, so that's out there on the table. There's also a response card that you can fill out and mail in if you'd rather do it through the mail rather than online. So, but that is on the table in the hallway after we're done. So, there's also a book about what it means to be a partner with us on as part of our support team. There's a book out there with more information about family camps. Feel free to take whatever material is out there. There are some handouts out there with the statement of faith of Life Action in case you're wondering, okay, is the place he's going, how does it align with us? So there's a statement of faith out there as well as a mission statement and the cutting edge commitments of Life Action, which is basically they say, these are the things we are committed to. We have been committed to them for the past 50 years, and it's not going to change. So all of that is out there on that table back there.
Is there a denominational affiliation with Life Action?
Is there a denominational affiliation with Life Action? No, like with the church teams, the church event teams, if a church invites, they go. Now, strangely, it always seemed like we were in probably like 80, 90% Southern Baptist churches when we were on the teams. But we were also, we were in an Assembly of God church. I mean, if they invite, we go. And like with the church event teams, when they bring in this whole team of people, they don't charge. Again, they'll have a box in the back and say, hey, if you want to give, there's a box in the back. They don't take up an offering or anything. So again, it's not about finances. It's about we want to impact God's people. So regardless of denomination, we want to minister.
I guess I was asking more about theological oversight.
Oh, theological oversight. They do have a board of directors that has theological oversight. But within that, staff members we can raise our hands and say, hey, wait, no. So while there's a board of directors that has an oversight on the statement of faith and the mission statement, the staff members have a voice in saying that's kind of off the mark. But there is no, Life Action is completely autonomous. There's no other denomination or organization that oversees Life Action.
Good question. So what happens if we have, next month, the perfect John Bott comes into our congregation and is the new John, and you are not even close to raising your support, do we take that person on salary and drop you, or what's
So the question, what if next month a perfect John Bott, like 7.0, like way better than me, comes, do they bring him on salary? You can say, hey John, see that over there? That's called a door. So I would leave that in the hands of the congregation, but yeah.
I guess the question, I guess, being, are we going to continue to support you ad nauseum until you find your support?
I hope ad nauseum. As it stands right now, honestly speaking, like when I mentioned the people who took 3 years or 5 years, they've had other pastors come on staff, and typically with pastors, the amount of time it takes pastors to raise support is way less than people who are coming, joining from like the business world or whatever, mainly because pastors have already been in ministry. Like, you know, if I work in an office, I've got a lot of coworkers who may not share any of my heart for God. But as a pastor, I've spent the last almost 20 years working among God's people who have a heart to see the kingdom of God grow. And hopefully have had an impact at least on some of those people. And so typically for pastors, the support raising process isn't as drawn out as somebody who's coming from the business world or something like that. So honestly, from all the feedback we've heard from everybody else who has gone through this process, they really don't see it taking us that long. So being at 100% on staff by this time next year, or before this time next year, May, is actually incredibly realistic. And one pastor who came in, he raised his support in about 100 days. So it can happen very quickly.
So I guess maybe the question is more for, I don't know, the elders. Are we committed to supporting you financially up until you raise 100%, whether or not you were actually doing anything at this church?
That is a good question. I don't know if that's not something we have.
Chuck, that's part of the comment I made earlier. We're really looking at the beginning of next camp season, and at that point, we want to start filling whatever we have here. So that's kind of loose at the minute, but that's the rough thing that we're looking at. By next camp season, the transition is happening. So
whether or not he has full support, that's it.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Okay. A little less dramatic than that.
Yeah, I'm from Jersey. It's by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the time. You're done. Out. There's the door. Yes, Danielle. Yes, we would be remaining here, whether as a pastor or as a church member. Yes.
I guess we just are just not going to raise money. I'm just joking.
You'll be here, but unemployed.
Yeah, here, unemployed.
Let's say you put your house on the market, it gets sold in a month. Where do you live until then?
All right, good question. If we put our house on the market, it sells, and we're not there yet. Seth and Maddie actually have very generously, they have about a 1,600 square foot basement, and they have offered to finish that out in such a way with bedrooms, kitchen, bathroom, so that we can go ahead and sell our house while the market is at least still high, and then when we do get full support, Lord willing, the market will have come down some, and then we can buy a home once we're at 100%. But they have offered to let us stay there, which actually is a good point. It would be awesome to have some men in the church, or even some women in the church, of course, who could help get that done, because it is, they're doing all the work, drywalling and all that kind of stuff. So if we can get some guys in the church to help with that, that would be awesome. So good question. Thank you, Avery.
Is there going to be any involvement of your children in your ministry in the future, or just like around camp or anything like that?
That is a good question. And actually, even this summer, Lana, during family camps, they have what is called Crew, which is for teenagers who are still too young to join Life Action, whether on the event teams or camp staff. But during family camps, crew members come in and help with everything. They help with the meals, they help with the housekeeping, they help keep the grounds up, all of that kind of stuff. So until they're older, they will be involved with crew, helping with that kind of stuff. Once they are old enough, we'd love for them to maybe travel for a year or two on the church event teams. It really was a formational time for both of our lives, apart from getting married. I mean, that was pretty formational too. But apart from that, very formational in our lives. But even if they choose not to travel, to whatever extent they want to be involved, they will be able to help out. Like, a lot of times, there's one guy in charge of maintenance, and he oversees a crew of himself. So for all of these buildings and stuff. So when we're getting ready for the retreat season, all the staff members, doesn't matter what their actual job is, we will be pitching in to help. Whether there are some things that need repaired or that kind of stuff. And so the kids come in and they come with their parents to help with that kind of stuff. So there will be involvement of our kids in the ministry.
Will you be living on campus?
We'll be living on campus. It would be awesome if we could. There are some homes on campus for staff members, but right now those homes are filled until they start getting threatening mail. Right now those homes are filled. So we will be looking to purchase a house as close as we can to camp. But at this time, no, we won't be living on campus.
What's their address?
Do we have any eggs? Yes. As far as support raising, yeah, this coming up this week, I'll be speaking at a father-daughter camp where I'm going to have the opportunity to, they have about 280 people, well, 280 plus at the camp that I'm going to be speaking at. So I'll be having an opportunity to share what we're going to be doing, to talk to them about joining our support team. And then right after we're done with that, that's done on Sunday morning. That Sunday night, we'll be doing a presentation similar to this at our previous church. Now, it won't take as long there because we ended up going to that, being on staff of that church because they had us in as team members. So they're very familiar with Life Action, so we'll be doing that as part of our support raising as well. We're going to try to be as proactive and intentional in this as possible.
Yes, sir. Do you have kind of a schedule in place for who you're going to be talking with about raising support, like churches or ministries? Or
we are putting together a list of churches. I'm sorry, was that? We do have a list of churches and stuff. We also have a list of people. Talking to large groups is great, but it's really in the face-to-face meetings that people really catch a heart and a vision for what you're going to do. So we do also have a list of people that we're going to be inviting over to say, hey, can we share our heart about what we're going to be doing? So we have both a list of groups and a list of individuals. Yeah, and also if you know of anybody who may have a heart for families that may be interested in talking to us about being part of our support team, please let us know or let them know. So, good question. Thank you, Seth.
Let's say, I sign up to give $40 a month right now, and then it takes 5 months until everything's fundraised. We won't start giving until you have everything ready to be covered, or?
No, that actually starts accruing now, so that when we get there, we actually have money. And so we're not getting there going, okay, how long till payday? So that actually starts accruing now, so that when we do get there, we can hit the ground running.
Do all the funds go through LifeX?
Yes, for tax purposes, it used to be different. Like when we were team members, the money came straight to us, but because the government passed all kinds of new laws about taxes and that kind of stuff, the money goes through Life Action, and then they will give us a paycheck. So now technically we would be employed by Life Action. So all of everything that is given towards our support will come to us as a check through Life Action, because of all the tax things that the government put in place.
So if a business wants to specifically give towards you, they have to write it to Life Action for write-offs?
Yes, yeah, they would give it to Life Action in our name, but yeah, if for tax deduct purposes, it would be given to Life Action, but it would go into our account at Life Action and then be paid out to us from that.
So if I write a check, do I put in the memo section John Mormon, or do I put a note on the check? Here's why I'm asking.
Yes.
At YWAM, one of the things they told us, our name cannot appear on the check. But they give 1099s, not W-2s. I don't know what
right.
I would get.
Yeah, it's the same thing. If you were to write a check, it would go with a support card. So that support card would tell them this is who this money is to go to. This is who the account holder.
Yes.
But yeah, the check itself would go to Life Action, but with that support card, they would know, hey, this is for John and Kara. So, good question, thank you.
Is this kind of a 9-to-5 job, or is it more like, okay, I'm awake, I'm going into work, I'm ready to sleep, I'm going home?
The schedule changes. During the summer, family camps is the busiest time, where I will be there from 8 in the morning until at least 7 at night, 5 days a week, but my whole family will be with me as well. So it's not that I'm going to be away from my family for that whole time. During retreat seasons that book in the family camps, most of the retreat season or retreats are Thursday through Saturday, maybe Thursday through Sunday. So I definitely would have to be on campus during those times. During the winter, there will be a lot of working from home. The winter months would be kind of leading the activities, it's my research and development time. I would be working from home during that time, researching and developing activities, programs, that kind of stuff. So the schedule, it's a full-time schedule, but whether it's 40 hours or plus will fluctuate with the seasons. And yeah, even during family camp season, I still get a day off during the week, during the weekdays. So I'd have Saturday and Sunday off, and then a day during the week. Was that a lead-up question?
I was curious about how much non-camp time you will have. The only reason I'm asking is that I know people who have signed on to this type of position, and within 2 years they are in the camp bubble, and they have really no clue what's going on in the outside world, and lose their heart for the mission of why they're there in the first place.
Yes.
And I know you've already said that you're going to be involved in a local church, and I think that'll take care of some of it, because you're not the type to just sit back and absorb all the time.
Yeah. Like when we went up to meet with some of the finance guys, one of them was like, I got to head out. My church's small group is meeting tonight, so I need to get out of here. It's during the day during camps, absolutely I'll be there. And during the evenings, it depends on, okay, is there a carpet ball tournament tonight that I've got to be in charge of? Or is tonight just another session and then snacks afterwards and I can head out? So that's why I say it'll fluctuate. And evenings, a lot of it will be determined by whether or not our kids want to stay until 9 o'clock playing gaga ball, which I already know the answer to that. So, thank you. Good question. That would go along with this morning talking about getting to a point where I love the work more than I love the Lord. So, very good question. Any other questions? Kids, do you guys have a question like, when are we going to eat cookies? Any other questions before that? The exterior door for the basement goes in this week, and he doesn't need help with that, but a couple hands during the week would be great to get that ball rolling. We met with a realtor this past, Thursday, and he said that probably once we get the house on market and sold, we're probably looking at 45 days till closing, and we can kind of put in the contract that we have another 45 days after that in kind of a rent back kind of thing. So that would put us 90 days out from closing to having to move in with Seth and Maddie. So that gives that 90 days to get all that done.
If it sells.
Is there any plan to have our church body interconnected with Life Action Ministries after the transition? With having all those post-high school teams, is right. that something that our church might look to feed some of our young people into? Is that something that's been discussed with them?
I'd say it hasn't been discussed yet. I think it's a great opportunity. One team member who came, he was actually in his mid to late 20s. And he called Life Action, because when you come onto a church event team, there's about 4 to 6 weeks of training camp before you hit the road in the fall. And he referred to it as a greenhouse. He said he grew so much spiritually just during that time of training. And then you get on the road and realize, I am growing immensely while I'm ministering to others. And he called it a greenhouse, where even looking at him, he was on my team, I was his team director, looking at him at the beginning of the year going, this guy's on my team. To the end of that year going, he is an awesome team member. So it is an incredible opportunity for spiritual growth as well as the opportunity to minister to others. But there's been no talk or anything about like pushing that or doing that. All right. Does cookie sound good?
Yeah.
Now, Aubrey, you're supposed to go, no, I have a question.
When are we eating cookies?
When are we eating cookies? All right. Well, again, thank you guys so much for being here, for being patient and listening to all of this. Thank you for your questions. If you do have any more questions, be sure to ask Kara. And then, just as a reminder, we really do...
covet, in a good way, your prayers, and we do ask for your financial support in whatever way you are able to. Again, if you're not able to financially support us, no skin off our back. You can still be praying for us. But if you are interested in being a part of our team, again, there's information out there. There's also, you can sign up for a newsletter that we'll be sending out perhaps quarterly with updates and that kind of stuff, in addition to social media updates. So that's out there on the table. So you can get information about joining our team, our prayer team, our financial support team, and our newsletter out there. And thank you to Sharla for a bunch of cookies. Thank you, Sharla. Avery.
I'm sorry, but I have one more question.
All right.
So besides the ministry stuff that you guys would need to be placed in, you guys have a lot of stuff going on now. What are some stuff at home, like extra stuff you guys do that you could need help with to relieve some stress off of you guys?
We are presently getting our, I think that's an awesome question. We are presently getting our house ready for market. We've got a few things still that we need to get done. One, if you guys know somebody, we've got kind of a leak in the basement that is because the retaining wall from the exterior entrance is collapsing in, and so we can't close the basement door. And so water just comes flooding in. So we are looking, trying to find somebody who does foundation work, because we wanna seal that off, brick it up, backfill it, that kind of stuff. So something like that, if you know of somebody who can do that. We're also doing some painting and that kind of stuff, but we don't know anybody who does that kind of stuff. Kidding. neither is Chuck. What else? Cleaning and packing. I've got surgery next week for my knee, which will probably put me out for the next 12 weeks. Okay, 3 weeks. All right. I tried. So we will keep you updated on things as they arise that we could use some help with. Thank you, Avery. All right. Pastor Matt, do you have anything else you want to say? All right. Again, thank you so much, everybody, for coming, sitting, listening, asking questions. Again, check out the table out there, but even more, check out the table in the kitchen, because that's where the cookies are. So thanks, guys. You are dismissed.